this truth of my head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and Your Life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, broadcasting with 50,000 watts. Neil Bortz is a popular libertarian talk show host, and he advocates a national sales tax. In fact, he co-wrote the book, the New York Times best-selling The Fair Tax Book. Well, for 15 years on the air, we have been against the sales tax, so it's worthwhile to have a leading expert to answer our objections. Neil Bortz, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Hey there, how you doing?
It's great to have you on.
You know, there was an election, a primary election in Michigan. I'm sorry, I can't give you the cast of characters.
Yeah.
Where the incumbent Republican was opposed to the fair tax, a newcomer was running against him.
Yeah.
On the fair tax, and the incumbent lost.
Well, we might be on the wrong side of a populist upswell, Neil. History will tell us.
The incumbent was running ads. So-and-so wants to put a horrible sales tax on the American people.
Right. The typical critics of the sales tax, they don't do it justice because they don't openly acknowledge that you guys would not tax those under the poverty line. You wouldn't tax used goods and services, only new goods.
Right.
But I could do this really quickly.
Okay.
I'd like to give you 8 objections and hear your response.
Let's do it.
Okay. Neil Bortz. No right of conscription. The government does not have the right to force a businessman to become a tax collector. It's conscription, but the government cannot force men to become tax collectors. Millions of people hate having to collect tax, and the government does not have the right to force a businessman to become a tax collector.
I'm all with you when it comes to lowering the scope of government. The fact of the matter is, however, that in 45 states, the government is already a tax collector collecting the sales tax. In all 50 states, the individual businessmen or individuals are tax collectors by the virtue of the fact that they withhold income tax, Social Security, and Medicare tax. So I see your point on that, but I would point out that nothing changes.
Well, Neil,
we have individuals collecting those taxes right now.
Neil, you see my point, but I'm arguing that the government does not have the right to force a businessman to become a tax collector, that is fundamentally wrong. The government doesn't have the right to conscript businessmen to become tax collectors because people hate having to collect other people's taxes.
I understand. The reality is, though, that happens in every state. We're just talking now about changing the methodology. It really is a completely different debate.
Neil, do you think my audience doesn't know it's happening? We know it's happening. My argument is your argument shouldn't be because it's happening. That justifies continuing it. My argument is it's wrong. The government does not have the right. Do you agree with this? The government does not have the right to force a businessman to become a tax collector.
Well, I'm an attorney, and I would have to really look into it before I would say that I absolutely agree with that point of view.
All right. Well, that's my first argument, that the government doesn't have the right to conscript us to become tax collectors.
Okay.
All right. Second, the national sales tax entices strangers to fraud. A sales tax entices millions of people who will buy and sell on a daily basis things like furniture, computers, 10,000 retail items that we make here at Bob Enyart Live. We make retail items. We sell them at conferences on the internet.
Yeah.
This will entice strangers to defraud the government.
Sure. So does the income tax.
Yeah, but no, not with strangers. This entices millions of strangers who meet and just bypassing one another for 5 minutes a day, millions of times a day.
I understand. You made the point.
Okay.
The fact is that whatever type of tax system we have, there will always be people who will try to avoid it.
Well, that's right.
One difference between a sales tax than an income tax, for instance, is that in an income tax, avoidance can be accomplished by one person individually. He just fails to report income. With a sales tax, it takes two people to avoid, a seller and a purchaser.
That's right, and that turns out to be a burden on the economy and the government and the law-abiding nature of our society, because we know that people will cheat the government. They will defraud.
Whatever the form of taxation is, people will cheat the government.
That's true. The difference is this entices millions of strangers, systematically entices strangers who meet just in passing to defraud the government.
Well, I don't see the point in that it is suddenly worse to defraud the government,
well, here's
or it is
why.
Suddenly worse to avoid taxes simply because it's strangers.
I'll tell you why. Because
without a difference,
because
or a it's difference without a distinction.
Because it systematically multiplies the opportunity to defraud the government by a hundredfold. If I go buy a table from a guy who makes tables down the street for $500, he and I don't know each other, we pay cash, and we have conspired to defraud the government.
Okay, point made. I disagree.
All right.
Whatever system we have, people are going to try to avoid taxes. I don't see they're either going to avoid the fair tax. You know, what do you want?
Yeah.
People avoid the fair tax, but in the meantime, America becomes the number one tax haven in the world. Everybody in the world, everybody in this country has absolutely no federal tax liability on their purchase of the basic necessities of life. You get 100% of your paycheck, and your objection is going to be, but strangers will get together and try to avoid it.
No, my primary objection is the government has no right to force me and my neighbors to become tax collectors.
They're doing it now.
Third, and that's not a justification.
I know.
Okay.
But we're supposed to be arguing the fair tax here,
yeah.
And you're arguing a general objection against all forms of taxation.
That's not true,
Neil. Why don't we get down
only
to
sales tax.
The fair tax?
I am only arguing against a national sales tax, which you support. Here's my third argument.
I am sorry, but under the income tax, individuals are charged with collecting taxes for the government also.
Well, and that should be, I oppose that.
That's fine. If you want to argue that, argue that.
I
but
do
why
argue
don't
that.
We do something constructive?
I have a third objection.
And argue the fair tax versus the income tax.
I am, because the income tax should not have an IRS to force you to prove your innocence every year.
Income
tax
I understand
could be remitted.
This is going nowhere. If you want to argue against taxation,
I don't. I support taxation.
Neil, do you want to argue the fair tax versus the income tax?
Neil, for 15 years, I've support taxation. I'm against the sales tax.
No, you're against.
You're wrong.
Argument is that, oh my goodness, individuals will have to collect the tax for the government. They do that now.
That's not a justification. Why don't we get on to my third point?
Okay.
Okay, it's an impediment to startup companies. It makes it far more difficult for the poor and the young and those who are not very sharp to enter into business. They have to figure out point of sale, collecting, remitting, setting aside funds. It makes starting up a business very difficult, which is an unfair burden on the simple and the poor.
When they start up a business now in 45 states, they have to collect sales tax.
It's wrong.
Tell me how this is. Oh, okay. So now
the
your
sales
objection
tax is
to
wrong.
The fair tax is that it's a sales tax, and now you don't like sales taxes because it's an impediment to startup businesses.
Neil, if now means as of the last 7 minutes, yes, I've been telling you a sales tax is wrong.
Okay, look, I'm going to cut to the chase here.
All right, go ahead.
You and I are both busy. If you want to argue a general objection to sales taxes or a general objection to income tax, that's fine. I am here.
I don't have a general objection to income tax. I support a flat income tax.
Look, you do have a general objection.
You're wrong.
Because individuals have to collect the income tax for the
government. No, they don't. You remit your taxes. You remit your taxes.
Look, friend, I'm sorry. I wanted to call up and discuss the sales tax. You've gone through four objections that I consider to be asinine. Do you want to come up with one that actually has some meaning?
Yeah, I have a fifth.
Let's have it.
Okay. All right. The vastly greater transaction cost, because there are billions of sales transactions per day, but vastly fewer income tax transactions. So just the effort on the economy, the burden of keeping track of taxation, you multiply the transactions and the burden of tracking them immensely with the sales tax versus an income tax.
Disagree, and the economists with MIT disagree. The economists at Harvard disagree. The President's Tax Reform Commission disagrees.
So they say there are more transactions with an income tax than with a sales tax.
They already collect sales tax.
That's not
on
a defense.
These transactions.
That's not my argument. They're not doing it. My argument is it's more expensive because it multiplies the number of tax transactions by a thousandfold.
And you, if you had read the bill, you would also understand that the retail merchants who collect the sales tax get to retain a portion of it to compensate them for the cost of collection.
Yeah, and I value my time more than the government conscripting me to become a tax collector.
Look,
seventh argument.
These objections,
yeah.
And I've been talking the sales tax and for the national retail sales tax, the fair tax, Citizens for an Alternative Tax System for 25 years. And with all due respect to you, sir, I have never heard such an absurd collection of objections to the idea.
Well, how about this one, that it's unfair, fundamentally? Let's say the wealthy versus the middle class who struggles. The middle class who struggles is going to pay a much higher percent of their income on just surviving, their consumable purchases every day, every month, compared to the wealthy, the multimillionaires and billionaires. And we don't have any class envy here. I'm all for the rich. I want them to get richer. But if the wealthy, Bill Gates, if he spent 1% of his annual income, that's $30 million a year. So Bill Gates and many of the wealthy in America would pay taxes on 1%, 2%, 3%, 4% of their income, while so many people in the middle class would pay taxes on a huge portion of their income. It's fundamentally unfair.
Okay. We do not now have a wealth tax. You are arguing for a wealth tax instead of a tax on income.
I'm arguing for a flat income tax.
No.
Yeah.
We have a flat income tax.
Well, no, we don't. We have a progressive income tax.
In 1986, the Congress of the United States passed a flat income tax. They got rid of most of the tax deductions. They cut back on the mortgage interest deduction. They created a two-tiered flat income tax, 15% and 28%. We still had withholding. We still had reporting to the IRS. We still had Medicare taxes. We still had Social Security taxes. We still had the death tax. We still had capital gains taxes. We still had corporate income taxes. And it's been modified 11,000 times.
I agree. We're against all that also, Neil. That's
and
all.
And that's the system you want to do all over again?
No, no, no. I want a flat income tax.
That's
Neil, here's my last objection.
And you've seen what Congress has done with
no,
it.
We haven't. Here's my last objection. It's a conflict of economic interest. The government is addicted to tax revenues. The government will obsessively encourage spending and borrowing to spend rather than encouraging increased income, savings, and investment. Because it's immoral, because you don't have the right to force people to become tax collectors, therefore it has negative consequences, including a government now that will increasingly encourage spending and borrowing to spend.
I think that you have a valid point on that one. Finally, you have a valid point.
All right.
And perhaps the government will encourage spending. Right now, look at some of the things that the government encourages now. Dependence on government. The government encourages you to send your kids to a government school. The government encourages you to rely on Social Security for your retirement income.
Right.
We
Neil,
are
you and I agree
intelligent,
with
free people, and we ought to be able to make up our own minds and be smart enough to figure out what we want to do with our economic lives on ourselves, by our own.
You and I agree on so much of government waste and fraud. We disagree because I think fixing a problem with something fundamentally immoral and populist is a really bad idea.
I look at the fair tax. Any system where government seizes money from an individual has at its core the patina of immorality. I will agree with you on that. Unfortunately, we have a government that needs to be funded.
I disagree, Neil.
It's funded at nowhere near the current level.
Neil, you can't agree with me on that because I don't agree that it is fundamentally wrong or problematic for the government to raise taxes.
No, I didn't say raise tax. No, I did not say it was wrong for the government to raise taxes.
It's not.
I said it was wrong for the government to seize taxes.
Well, that's right. And when you do business with somebody, now your neighbor is seizing your taxes.
That makes it worse.
Now,
wait a minute. Let me drop in one really important point
that
your listeners need to know about the fair tax. And that is, that, and this was confirmed by the president's Tax Reform Commission.
Yeah.
And that is that it is the only tax reform plan out there that completely lifts the federal tax burden from the poor. Completely.
Yeah, and that's a negative.
Now, wait a minute.
Neil, that's a negative because the poor have to have ownership in the roads they drive, in the military they support. So if there's a flat tax on the poor don't feel like freeloaders.
Now, wait a minute.
Yeah.
When you talk about roads, the poor still pay gasoline taxes. They still have their – they still pay user fees.
Yeah,
they still – but now here's the point. Every citizen in America, not only every citizen, everybody who is in America, every resident in America, is completely protected. They pay absolutely no sales tax to the federal government under the fair tax on their spending up to the basic necessities of life.
Yeah, Neil,
now,
I just argue that's a negative. That's a negative.
By definition, any spending that a person engages in past the basic necessities of life, food, clothing, shelter,
yeah,
transportation, any spending that they engage in over and above the basic necessities of life is by definition voluntary spending, which in essence makes the fair tax a voluntary tax.
Neil, I've heard you say with our social programs that we are hurting the poor because it destroys them. The very concept.
Well, yeah, it creates a sense of dependency.
Right.
Sure.
And so, but your plan, the fair tax, tells the poor, you don't have to pay this.
No.
It destroys their self-respect and their ownership.
What it tells the poor is that you can work and live in this country and provide for the basic necessities of your life free of tax burden to the federal government.
Why don't you just say free?
That you will spend.
Yeah, and then they can't hold their head high as they walk down the street.
Oh, come on.
But with a flat income tax, the poor, they pay a small amount because it's a flat percent. They don't make much. They pay very little.
I think you and I both know, if we look at the current Congress and we look at the way these people operate,
yeah,
that under a flat tax, especially the Democrats working in the Congress, would make sure that there were exemptions and credits enough, as they are doing right now, to make sure that the poor would not share any of that burden.
All right. Hey, Neil Bortz, I know your time is valuable. Do you think you won, tied, or lost this debate?
I don't think we debated much of the issue at all.
You think you did a good job?
Oh, I always do a good job. I've been doing this for 36 years. I never lose.
How about you link to this show from your website for a week?
Well, why don't you call Belinda?
All right.
And give her the information and tell her that. I'd be happy to do that. Hey, you know, I always like to support other people in the business.
All right. That sounds great. Neil Bortz.
Okay, be good.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate that. Neil Bortz is right now, I'd say, the leading spokesman for the national sales tax because he co-authored this book called The Fair Tax Book with a Georgia congressman, John Linder, and they hold rallies for the fair tax, and they get 10,000 people out, and it's become a number one New York Times bestseller, The Fair Tax Book. And I go back in my recollection 10 years, go back 10 years ago to where I had another debate with, at the time, the nation's leading spokesman for the national sales tax. And it seemed unfair. It seemed unfair because they can't defend their position. You ask them right off the bat, is it moral? Does the government have the right to force you, to force a businessman to become a tax collector? And 10 years ago, the guy said, no, they don't have that right. So right there, I won the debate. Today, on the most fundamental question of a taxation system, tax policy, the morality of it. Is it justifiable? Neil Bortz was, what did I ask that question, four times? He was unable to clearly answer, yes, the government has the right to force you to become a tax collector. He couldn't answer, he couldn't respond to that. Then I brought up that a sales tax, a national sales tax, 22%. So let's say you're going to buy, a friend of ours makes furniture in a woodshed in his backyard. He sells it through flea markets and to dealers and to people by word of mouth. Let's say he makes you a dining room table and chairs for, let's say, $1,000. And now you go to buy it, And you, the two of you, you live, say, half a mile away. You saw the sign in his yard. The two of you are supposed to agree, okay, don't pay me $1,000. Pay me $1,220. And then I have to keep track of this, and I have to remit this on a biweekly or monthly remittance to the federal government. I have to track it, organize, calculate it, figure it all out. And so it entices strangers to commit fraud and to conspire against the government. And so Neil was saying, well, I can't see the difference between that and an income tax system because people commit fraud with income tax. And that's true. Somebody hires somebody and they pay them under the table. And so here are two people conspiring to defraud the government with income tax. That's true. But the difference with a sales tax is you multiply that by 100-fold because we buy and sell from a lot more people than we're employed to, than we work for, right? How many people do you buy and sell to and from in your life? 100 people? 500? 1,000? How many people do you employ in your whole life on average? 2? 3? So it's 100-fold more opportunity systematically enticing strangers to defraud the government. And why is that? Well, it's a fundamentally immoral system. The government doesn't have the right to force a businessman to become a tax collector. So because it's fundamentally immoral, there will be many negative consequences, including systematically enticing strangers to defraud the government. And then I pointed out the impediment to startup companies, especially for the poor and for the young, for those that are not very responsible, for those that are a little bit slower than the average person. You know, maybe they're a little challenged. They go to school, they have a hard time reading beyond the fourth grade level. That doesn't mean they can't run a great little business out of their first floor of their home on some street corner. But the requirement to plan for and process point of sale considerations, sales tax, makes it much more difficult for that guy, that young guy, that uneducated guy to start his business. So he starts his business. He doesn't comply with the sales tax regulations, and he gets fined, he gets discouraged, and he goes out of business. Whereas even a simple person, if you're sharp enough to be in business, if you're sharp enough to be in business and you pay yourself $1,000 a month, that's what you get to take home from your business, and there's a 5% flat income tax, then he says, okay, 5% of $1,000 is $50. I owe the government $50 a month. And that's the only transaction he needs to be concerned with, is remitting his own tax to the government. Now, Neil Bortz also acted like he couldn't comprehend. He said, Bob, you're against taxes totally. No, I'm not. I'm not against taxes. He said, well, you're against tax collectors. Yes, I am against tax collectors. Well, then that must mean you're against taxes totally. No, I'm not. Jesus compared tax collectors with harlots, with prostitutes in a list. He listed harlots and prostitutes. You remember that passage? What was that, in Matthew? And what we have is the IRS that comes to you once a year and says you're forced to prove your innocence. You have to prove you paid your proper tax. That's wrong. It's like the police. The police don't come to you and say once a year you have to prove that you did not kidnap anyone, that you didn't murder anyone. The police don't do that. That'd be absurd. The police, the government will investigate you if there is a suspicion raised that you may have committed a crime. So taxes should be the same. The Bible says that we should remit our taxes. Remember that? What is that? Romans chapter 13? Jesus said that we should render our taxes. You don't need the IRS. Somebody owes taxes, they're to pay their taxes. If the government becomes suspicious, the same as anybody committing any crime. Somebody commits a crime. Somebody else reports on them, says, I think so-and-so is committing a crime. The government has different ways of becoming suspicious that somebody committed a crime. Then they investigate. But other than that, you don't need the IRS. You don't need tax collectors. You pay your taxes directly. And then the vastly greater transaction cost, I said, there are vastly more transactions of buying and selling than there are of paying an income tax. Vastly more. And he said, oh, no, we have all these economists all over the world, Harvard, Princeton, Yale, and they all know that's not true. Oh, that's not true? What, you buy and sell as often as you pay your income tax? No, most people pay their income tax biweekly or once a month. Some people pay once a quarter. Somebody pays their income tax once a month. How often do they buy and sell? Once a month only? How about 100 times a month? So it's 100 times more transactions, taxation transactions, to process and account for and to be responsible for. And then what else? The unfair tax. The wealthy pay just a small percentage of their total income. They only have to pay taxes on 3, 4, 5% of their total income because that's all they spend. Bill Gates could spend $30 million a year. That's 1% of his entire income. So he only pays tax on 1% of his income, whereas the middle class that spends most of their money, they struggle, they're taxed on most of their income. And that it's a conflict of interest with the government because the government is addicted to tax revenues. And so the government will obsessively encourage spending and borrowing to spend rather than encouraging increased incomes and saving and investment. Neil Bortz had to agree that that was a reasonable complaint with the sales tax system. But of course, the first complaint is the ultimate one. It's immoral to force a businessman to become a tax collector. And then finally, the Bible tells us, the wisdom of Scripture, God put his stamp of approval on the tithe. That's an income tax. God approved of an income tax because of its effectiveness and its fairness as the best mechanism for a universal tax. Okay, Neil said to call Belinda, so we'll have to call her and ask her to link to the show. Okay, because God endorsed the income tax as the best mechanism for a universal tax. You know what we're going to do? We are going to call Belinda at Neil Bortz's talk show and ask her to put a link up to this debate. That's why I asked him on the air, does he think he won? Does he think it was a tie? Does he think he lost? To get him to make a commitment to the debate that it went pretty well, so he'd have no reason to not list it on his website. Okay, we are going to take a break, and we will be right back.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278. Welcome back to Bob Inyart Live, where we expose the liberal in the conservative. That's our gig here at Bob Inyart Live, trying to find the liberal in the conservative. Mark Twain wrote a book back in 1869 called The Innocents Abroad. And I have notes on this going back 10 years probably. So I don't even recognize them. I took these notes, but I don't recall it. But on page 193 of Mark Twain's book, The Innocents Abroad, Italians pay 33% tax. And if Americans had laws like that, they would have changed them. Americans complain if they have to pay 7%, wrote Mark Twain. Americans are a curious people because they do not know when they are well off. And that's interesting. Yeah, our founding fathers were up in arms over taxation without representation. Hey, they were paying a few percent. And here we are paying, well, the government spends half of what we produce. Well, the debate I just had, it was what, a 17-minute debate with libertarian talk show host Neil Bortz, popular talk show host out of Atlanta, Georgia, and elsewhere. I asked him, Neil Bortz, do you agree that the government has no right to force a man to become a tax collector? And Neil said, well, I'm an attorney, and I would have to carefully look into that. Look into it? You've been an attorney for decades, and you've been advocating a sales tax for 25 years. You've written a New York Times number one best-selling book advocating the national sales tax, and just now on Bob and Yurt Live, you say you'll need to look into it to see if it's moral, to see if it's justifiable or not. Don't you think you're a little late with that, Neil? You're a little late. He is a libertarian, so he is not against homosexual marriage. He's not against the adoption of children by homosexuals, although he argues that a little bit, but when it comes down to it, he's not against that. The Libertarian Party, we call them immoral conservatives. They're not really conservatives, but on some things they're connected with conservatives, but they don't have any moral foundation. It's a godless party. So they wander to and fro, and they don't know right from wrong. So when Neil Bortz has been advocating the sales tax for 25 years, and I ask him, well, is it immoral? Isn't it immoral for the federal government to force a businessman to become a tax collector? He's in a quandary. He can't answer the question. He says he has to look into it. Where's he going to look? Where's he going to look at the Libertarian Party platform? They believe in legalized abortion. The Libertarian Party is pro-legalized abortion. They are pro-legalized euthanasia, the killing of sick, often unloved or lonely old people, young people, children with handicap. That's pro-legalized euthanasia. They're pro-legalized homosexuality. They're pro-legalized pornography. They're pro-legalizing crack cocaine and heroin and all kinds of recreational drugs. They're pro-legalized drunkenness. They're pro-legalizing suicide. They're pro-legalizing prostitution. That's the Libertarian Party. And with the state of conservative talk radio and conservative Christian radio, there are millions of conservatives who don't know how immoral the Libertarian Party is. That's fundamentally immoral. They think, hey, they're pretty good. Libertarian Party, they're sort of on our side. And this Joe Lieberman, boy, we hope he wins. He's a good guy. He's a child killer. He's a child killer. How good of a guy can he be? He supports faith-based initiatives. Yeah, but you remember, we conservative Christians, we're supposed to be against welfare programs. We don't all of a sudden support them when you let us be the middleman, let the church dispense the welfare money, and then we support it because we're in on the cut. No, that's not right. So that's a vote against Joe Lieberman, not in his favor, that he supports faith-based initiatives, which is getting churches to support socialism because they're making money off it now. So the Libertarian Party is utterly broken, and Neil Bortz is a libertarian talk show host, so he has no foundation in morality, in right and wrong. back in what, the year 2000, I debated the state president of the Libertarian Party in Indiana. His name is Brad Kloppenstein. Now that's a name, huh? Brad Kloppenstein. And this was on an Indianapolis radio station. And he is defending the Libertarian Party's belief that suicide should be legal. And so I gave him the scenario of the heroic paramedic who breaks into the home of a 22-year-old mother who's just slit her wrist because her ex-husband has now married his girlfriend. She's been thinking about it. She wants to die. So the paramedic is the hero. He breaks into her home to save her. And the Libertarian Party would defend her right, and they'd help block the door. And if anything, the paramedic would be committing a crime because this 22-year-old has the right to kill herself. He'd be violating her rights. You see how backwards everything becomes when you don't know right from wrong? And prostitution, they'd legalize prostitution. So I said to Brad, Indiana State President of the Libertarian Party, well, if you're going to legalize prostitution, how about saleswomen all over the country? A saleswoman who makes $100,000 a year selling, let's say, private jets to foreign businessmen. And the manufacturer says, now, by the way, the libertarians are in power. So if any of our clients make a sexual advance, you have to allow it. You have to put up with it. Otherwise, we'll fire you. Huh? You can't do that. Oh, yes, I can. The libertarians are in power. That's our contract. You're making $100,000 a year. It's good money. Somebody wants to grab you, just put up with it. So when you lack a moral foundation, you don't understand. You get confused. Right and wrong become a challenge. Now, with taxation, the Bible deals with taxes some. Jesus, in Matthew 21, Jesus equates tax collectors with harlots. So we don't like tax collectors here at Bob and Yurt Live. It's wrong. It's wrong. We need to remit our taxes. We need to pay to render our taxes to the government. You don't need tax collectors. The Bible says in Romans 13 to pay your taxes. In Matthew 22, render your taxes to Caesar. And you don't have to insert a tax collector in there. At the end of the month, the quarter, or annually, however you get paid, you owe a flat 5% income tax. So you send off your tax check to the government. It's the same. The government would manage that tax fraud the same as they manage any crime. The government doesn't come to you and say, once a year you have to file a report showing, proving your innocence that you have not murdered anyone in the last year. They don't do that. The same thing with taxes. You shouldn't have to file a report once a year proving you're innocent to the IRS. You just have an obligation to obey the law. That includes paying your flat income tax, 5%. You don't pay your income tax, the government will become suspicious. This guy lives in a multi-million-dollar mansion, and he hasn't paid income tax in the last 5 years. Boy, it's suspicious. He pays income tax at the rate of a kid who's making $7 an hour. It's suspicious. And so when the government is suspicious that someone has committed a crime, they could look into it. But you don't need tax collectors. You don't need the IRS. In, where was it? Matthew 21, Jesus equated tax collectors with harlots. The Lord was telling the chief priests how evil they were. And in verses 31, 32, Jesus equates tax collectors with harlots. And he tells these chief priests, he says, you know how evil you are? Tax collectors and harlots are better than you. That's pretty bad. Paul writes in Romans 13, 7, render to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due. Jesus said that in Matthew 22, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. So taxes to whom taxes are due. So you pay your taxes. But we don't need a tax collector. We don't need a tax collector. Now, back in the Old Testament, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8, God was describing a confiscatory income tax. And he said, if the government taxes you 10%, that's wrong. That is burdensome. That is an example of an evil government taxing you 10%. And so we here at Bob and Yurt Live, we advocate a flat income tax. Flat. Neil Bortz said, we have a flat income tax with two levels. No, we don't. We have a progressive income tax. People who make less, pay less. People who make more, pay more. That's not a flat income tax. He's pulling a George Orwellian newspeak, 1984 on us, only he's 22 years late. He says, we do have a flat tax. There are two rates. That's not a flat tax. We advocate a flat tax of 5% income tax for everybody. So the poor, they have a very low tax rate because they're poor. They don't have much income. But at least they can walk down the street with their head held high. Neil Bortz, on his show for years, has documented how giving things to the poor destroys the poor. The rich can survive it. It's the poor that's destroyed with welfare programs. And when you say to the poor, you know what, you're poor, you don't have to pay taxes, then they don't have ownership in their society. They don't have ownership, and they can't take pride in their part of the nation. They need to pay their fair share of the tax. So a 10% tax is onerous. Clearly, the 22% sales tax that the fair tax and Neil Bortz want to put on us when we get goods and services, new goods, not used goods, that is onerous. It's wrong. And as I described, the wealthy only buy consumables with a small percentage of their income, and the struggling middle class, they spend most of their income on consumables and paying off that car they bought and the house they bought and the refrigerator they bought, and then the food they buy and the gas they buy and so on. Whereas the poor, they get a rebate so they don't have to pay tax. It hurts the poor, their ability to have self-respect, and it's unfair because the wealthy only pay tax now on a tiny sliver of their income. So God says 10% is confiscatory for the government. It's an example of an evil government. So we support a 5% flat tax. And God authorized the use of an income tax. He was faced with the problem of collecting funds from the whole population in an equitable way. How do you do that? God could have implemented a sales tax or a property tax or tariffs on foreign trade. He could have done any of those things. The problem with tariffs on foreign trade is if you go to war and the whole world is against you, then your revenue disappears. So just when you need the most, you need your revenue most, it disappears because there's no business, economic activity with the world because you're at war against the world. Your government is at the mercy of the world and foreigners. So God instituted a tax based on income, a flat tax. That's the best kind of tax. Now, on their website, Neil Bortz, his radio show has a website, and then their Fair Tax Project has its own Fair Tax website, and they have a poem there. And their poem, it's sort of cute, but it supports the fair tax. So I revised it a little bit. I'd like to read it to you, our revised version. And what's funny is so much that the poem goes on and it laments all the things that are taxed. And what's so funny is so much of what's in that poem will still be taxed under the fair tax. Most of what's in there will still be taxed. It's hysterical. So anyway, I revised it so we can hear it, and it's also against the national sales tax. so it's cute. But I'll read it to you, and at the end, I'll remind you what was in their original poem that they would still tax. It's funny. Okay, here it is. The tax poem from fairtax.org, as revised by Bob Benyard. Tax his land, tax what he buys, tax his bed in which he cries. Tax his cow, tax his goat, tax his pants, tax his coat. Tax his ties, tax his shirt, tax his work, tax his dirt. Tax emissions, tax his smoke, teach him taxes are no joke. Tax his boat, tax his car, tax his travels near and far. Tax his food, tax his drink, tax his soap to make him stink. Tax his water, tax his bills, luxury living and no frills. Tax him good and let him go, cause after taxes he has no dough. If he hollers, tax him more, tax him till he's good and sore. Tax his coffin, tax his grave, tax the sod in which he lays. Put these words upon his tomb, taxes drove me to my doom. And when he's gone, they won't relax, they'll still be after the inheritance tax. That's a great poem. It's a great poem as revised by Bob and Yurt Live. The original poem is so funny. You know, the most egregious thing in here practically is tax his coffin. The national sales tax will tax his coffin. They will. The poor slob dies. It is widow, has to bury him, and she goes to buy a coffin for $2,000, and Neil Bortz is going to tax her $440 on a $2,000 coffin. Tax his grave? They're going to tax his grave. They're going to tax his land. They're going to tax his bed, his cow, his pants, his dirt, his car, his food, his coffin. So most of this they're going to tax anyway. Now that is a crack up, I think. That's a crack up. So, and they don't even, they chuckle when they read the poem. It's just a lighthearted, funny little entertaining thing. But they chuckle, but they don't realize most of the items they're joking about the government taxing will be taxed under their system. Taxes ties, taxes shirts, taxes tractor, taxes mule. I mean, the whole poem practically is what they want to tax people at a high rate, 22%. So the fair tax is not a fair tax. It's inherently unfair. It's immoral. It's wrong. You do not have the right to force a businessman to become a tax collector. You know, I've talked to countless businessmen from all over the country, been on the air for 15 years. For some years, we were on in 80 cities, 5 nights a week for an hour, from Honolulu to Orlando, New Orleans to Pittsburgh, Denver, Indianapolis, Oklahoma City, on and on and on. And I, for some time, have done consulting for businesses. In fact, I don't know if that's still on our website, kgov.com, Bob and Yurt Live Business Consulting, on the side to help us produce revenue to keep Bob and Yurt Live on the air. And we've had, for example, businesses pay $1,000 monthly retainers so that the owner, the director could call and get advice on running his business. Because a fundamental understanding of the world, right and wrong, the economy, it's a benefit to businesses. How to manage people, human beings, understanding human nature. So I hear from businessmen, and they tell me one of the things they hate with a passion. They have a burning hatred for being forced into becoming tax collectors. They hate it. And when they express their hatred of the government forcing them as private citizens, businessmen, individuals, when they express their hatred of the government forcing them to become tax collectors, there's no way to justify it. There's no way to say, hey, the government has the right to do that to you. Neil Bortz, his only answer that he could muster up was, well, they're already doing it. What kind of a defense is that? They're already doing it. I said, Neil, that's no justification. They were already owning blacks as slaves. That doesn't mean you continue it. They're already doing about 1,000 things that Neil Bortz thinks is terrible, wrong, destructive. That's not a defense. And that was the only defense he could come up with. They're already doing it. You know what? In 5 states, they're not. So in 5 states, they're going to be worse off. Now you're going to force hundreds of thousands of businessmen in 5 more states. You're going to conscript them, force them to become tax collectors. And they will hate you for it, Neil. And they'll be within their rights to despise the government that forces them into conscription as tax collectors. You know, I remember the Japanese army forcing Korean women into prostitution. How evil that is. They don't have the right to do that. And if Neil came along in 1945 and he'd say, well, they've already been doing it. They've been doing it for all these years. Well, Neil, it is wrong. Could you see that it's wrong? Oh, well, yeah, I can see it's wrong. So the fact that they're doing it is not a justification. That's a weak-minded argument for continuing it because we're doing it. The question is it right or wrong to force a businessman to become a tax collector? And the answer is it's wrong. The government does not have the authority to conscript businessmen into its army of tax collectors. That's wrong. And you would think someone who's a conservative would be able to easily understand that. But that's another problem, that the conservative movement and even right-wing Christians, our efforts are being co-opted by lawyers and legal positivists who think, well, if it's the law, it's justifiable because there is no underlying morality. There is no obligation to God or to right and wrong that we have any allegiance to. Whatever laws we pass, that's it. That's good enough for me because we pass the law. And that's utter humanism. But of course, Neil Bortz would agree that's what he is. He's a humanist. He's a legal positivist. And he owes no allegiance to the creator God of the Bible. In fact, he mocks that whole Bible creation story. We're made in God's image. Okay, we're out of time. Thanks for tuning in to Bob and Yurt Live. It was enjoyable having Neil Bortz on and enjoyable getting to talk to you. So check us out online at KGOV. That's KGOV.com. God bless you.